Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Aleph, and we're going to begin on Daf Nun Aleph Amar Aleph, 10 lines from the top. Amalei Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rav Yeshua L'Rava. In the previous shiur, the Gemara quoted a machlaikis between the Tanakama, Rameya, Rav Yaakov, that spoke about which karbonos a doicha Shabbos and Yontif, and which karbonos are not doicha Shabbos and Yontif. And the Gemara said, the maskana of the Gemara was that there's really, that the only rule that we have to follow is it a carbon that's mayadoi, that always has to be brought at a specific time, or is it a carbon that isn't limited to a specific time? It makes no difference if it's a carbon yachid or a carbon seber. And the Gemara gave a number of examples of karbonos tzibur that are doicha Shabbos and Yontif. And the Gemara gave a number of examples of karbonos yachid that are doicha Shabbos and Yontif. One of the examples of a karbon tzibur that's doicha Shabbos and Yontif, that's not doicha Shabbos and Yontif, was a karbon chagiga. One of the examples of a karbon yachid that is doicha Shabbos and Tumah was karbon Pesach. And the Gemara now has an obvious question. Amalei Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rav Yeshua L'Rava. V'tana, Mayishna Pesach to correlate carbon yachid? Why does the Tana decide to categorize the carbon Pesach as a carbon yachid? Or Mayishna Chagiga to correlate carbon tzibur? Or why does the Tana categorize the carbon Chagiga, as a carbon tzibur? If you'll say, Mishum De'asi B'chnufya, the carbon Chagiga was brought on Yontif, as we described previously, on every yontif, everyone in Shal Shugom, Klai Yisrael have to bring a Karbon Chagiga, Shalmi Simcha, and they were brought when everybody was in Yerushalayim. So the same goes for Pesach. Pesach Nami Os B'chnufya. The Karbon Pesach also was brought with a large crowd. So our question still remains, why is the Karbon Pesach called the Karbon Yachid, and why is the Karbon Chagiga called the Karbon Tzibur? The Farshim point out that now that we see that the Karbon Pesach had to be brought with a crown, we know that the Karbon Pesach was brought on Erev Pesach. Yet when we learned the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, we said that Erev Pesach is considered a Yontif. Why is it considered a Yontif? Because it's a day that Klal Yisrael gathered together to bring a Karbon. There's a very interesting machloikis, not related to the Gemaras that we're learning, that this Gemara serves as a makar, as part of the machlokes. The Chasam Sofer says, let's say somebody comes late to shul, and Shemoneh Esrei, the tzibur already said Shemoneh Esrei, the tefillah b'lachash. If he, the person, says Shemoneh Esrei along with the shliach tzibur, it's still considered tefillah b'tzibur. The Chasam Sofer explains, because really the main aspect of tefillah is the tefillah that the shliach tzibur says. The tefillah that we say, the tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei B'lachash, that said prior to that, is only kedei l'sader tefillah, so only to prepare the tefillah. And therefore, somebody says his Shemoneh Esrei along with the Baal tefillah, he's Mekayim tefillah b'tzibur. Ramosha, Negros Moshe, and actually it's really a Prima Godim, say differently. They say that tefillah b'tzibur means when everybody says Shemoneh Esrei themselves, all at the same time. So the question is, at first glance, the Chasam Sofer makes a lot of sense. If the main part of tefillah is the tefillah that Shliach Tzibur says, and I'm davening along with the Shliach Tzibur, so that's tefillah b'tzibur. If we're each davening individually, I'm saying my Shemoneh Esrei, you're saying your Shemoneh Esrei, how is that called tefillah b'tzibur? So Shaul Tshuvas Shevet Alevi brings a raya from our Gemara to Ramosh's Pesach. He says, what if the Gemara called the Karbon Chagiga? The Gemara is calling Karbon Chagiga a Karbon Tzibur. Why? Because it's brought b'chnufya. Everybody's gathered together. Ask the Shevet Alevi, so we're all in the Yazar at the same time. It's all Yontif. But I'm bringing my Karbon Chagiga, and you're bringing your Karbon Chagiga, and the next person is bringing his Karbon Chagiga. Why is that called chnufya? Says the Shevet Alevi, here we see that even if a person is doing something himself, but he's doing it in the Mezgeres, he's doing it in a time where everybody else is doing it, that's called Mechnufya. One more interesting ha'ara. We learned already yesterday in the Gemara and now the Gemara is saying it again, that the Karban Pesach had to be brought b'chnufya. Not only the Karban Pesach had to be brought b'chnufya when all of Klai Yisrael were together, we learned the Gemara from Masechta Pesachim, it was brought in three groups in the Azara, but more than that, we learned that nobody's allowed to eat a Karban Pesach himself. The Karban Pesach has to be eaten by a group of people together. But the Marit Al-Ghazi says, you have to have 10. At least a minimum of 10 people. But he says you could have women could count towards the 10. Not only that, he says you could have 10 women. If 10 women ate their own Karban Pesach, that's fine. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in the Shas Tshuva Silmas Chaim explains, because he asks the Shaila, if the halach is that 10 women are acceptable to eat a Karban Pesach together, the halach is that if 10 women eat together, they can't bench and say Nevarach L'Elokeinu. Why? What's the difference? So he explains, the reason we have to have 10 people eating a Karban Pesach together is Persume Nisa, to commemorate the Nisa of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we want at least 10 people there. They don't have to be men, as long as you have 10 Jews. Birchas HaMazon, it's not Persume Nisa, there's no Persume Nisa in saying Birchas HaMazon. It's a din that when 10 men get together, they could say Hashem's name, but that's only by men, not by women. Continues the Gemara. So our shayla is still relevant. Why is the Karban Pesach considered a Karban Yochid? Why is the Karban Chagiga considered a Karban Tzibur? Ma'ishna pets the Karban like Karban Yochid, ma'ishna Chagiga the Karban like Karban Tzibur. Im shum das b'chnufi, if it's brought with a crowd, Pesach has the same din. Pesach nami os b'chnufi. Says the Gemara, you know what we're referring to? We're not referring to Pesach Rishon, we're referring to Pesach Sheni. Ika Pesach Sheni, the last of Chnufya. Because Pesach Sheni was only brought by the people who were Tamei and unable to bring Pesach Rishon. Amalei. So they asked, if you're saying that the example that's being used when we speak about Karban Pesach means Pesach Sheni, and the Brises in the Mishnais that we use Pesach Sheni as an example said that it's Doiches Shabbos for Tumah, Imkein, Yei Doiches Shabbos for Tumah. Karban Pesach Sheni should have the ability to be Doiches Shabbos for Tumah. Amalei in. Yes, command Amidachi. Pesach Sheni is Doicha Shabbos. The Tanya, Pesach Sheni Doicha Shabbos and Doicha Satoma. It overrides both Shabbos and Toma. That means the Pesach Sheni, which is Yud Dalet Iyar, comes out in Shabbos, we bring the Pesach Sheni. Yudaimer, after Doicha Satoma. Certainly it's Doicha Shabbos, even it's Doicha Toma. So now what the Gemara is saying is, very new understanding. When yesterday we said that Pesach is a Karban Yochid that's Doiches Shabbos and Tumah. Till this moment we thought we were talking about the regular Karban Pesach. Now we learned that we're not talking about the regular Karban Pesach. We're talking about Pesach Sheni. And regarding the Pesach Sheni, the Gemara now is quoting a Machloikis that everybody agrees that it's Doiches Shabbos, and we have a Machloikis if it's Doiches Tumah. Machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. My time of the Tanakama. What's the reason that the Tanakama holds that Karban Pesach is not Doiches Tumah? Amleim ebnei Tumah d'chisa. The whole reason why the Pesach Sheni, why we got Pesach Sheni, is because the person couldn't bring Pesach Rishon, so we bring him a Pesach Sheni. So if we're going to tell him that he can bring Pesach Sheni, b'tumah v'yasa b'tumah, what have we accomplished? So therefore, it must be that Pesach Sheni is not Doiches Tumah. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Amalach. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Pesach Sheni is Doiches Tumah. Because Alecha Amalach, he tells you, Amakra, the Pasuk tells us like this, in describing Pesach Sheni, K'chol chukas ha-Pesach yasoy soy, v'afil b'tumah. The Torah is teaching us, just like Pesach Rishon, we know what Alecha is, that if most of Klal Yisrael is Tamei, they bring the Pesach Rishon. So, similarly, if somebody is Tamei, Pesach Sheni, he still could bring the Pesach Sheni. Why? Ha-Torah achzir lov las b'Torah. What the Torah says is, if the person is not part, if the majority of Klal Yisrael is Tahor, and this person is Tamei Pesach Rishon, we of course prefer that the Pesach be brought with Tahara. Don't bring in a Pesach Rishon. Loi Zacha, if the person ready Pesach Rishon, he was Tamei, and he's still Tamei Pesach Sheni, better bring it in Pesach Sheni, B'tumah, Yasena B'tumah, than not do it at all. Why? Just like the Pesach Rishon could be brought B'tumah. So Tysus asks a question. He says, there's a klal. There's a rule when we talk about kachim that says, Dova ha lamed behekish, ain a chayzim lamed behekish. which means you can't have a double hekesh. Ask Tosfos, first we had a hekesh, that how do we know the Korban Pesach is doich tuma? Because we compare Korban Pesach Rishon to Korban Tamid. Now the Gemara is making a double hekesh. We're comparing Pesach Sheni to Pesach Rishon. Don't we have a rule that we don't make a double hekesh? Answers Tosfos, absolutely, we don't make a double hekesh. But here it's not a situation of a double hekesh. Here it's a situation that the pasuk is telling us, k'chol chukas haPesach yasoi soi, the Pesach Sheni shears the same dinim as Pesach Rishon. And since it's not a hekesh, but it's actually what the Torah teaches us, it doesn't violate that rule. As we leave the sugya of Doicha Shabbos, Doicha Tumah, so we think to ourselves, it's unfortunately not relevant to us halach l'maisa. But actually, the Pesach can say it may be relevant. Because if we consider Nesias Kapayim an Avoida, so the Kohanim nowadays are Tamei, so how could a Kohen Duchen? So there are Pesachim to hold that Nesias Kapayim is not considered a full-fledged Avoida, that the Halacha, that a Kohen that's Tamei, is Naladurar Avoida. But there are Pesachim that say that Nesias Kapayim is an Avoida, but we're in a situation where all the Kohanim are Tamei, and also all the Yisraelim that the Kohanim are blessing are Tamei, and therefore the concept that something when everybody's Tamei may be done b'tumah, that's why Nesias Kapayim is done nowadays even when we're Tamei. Yesterday we had a Shaila, the Gemara on Daf Nun Amud Beis discussed the Shaila, that the halacha is that a carbon yachid could make a tamura. Let's say I have a shlomim, I can make a tamura. On a carbon seber, a tamura cannot be made. Carbon is shut from the same. And the question was, the power of the kohen gadol or yom kippur, is it a carbon yachid or a carbon seber? Ask the Gemara, but typically, why don't we prove the ashaloi amarachmana, that the Torah says, ashaloi, mishaloi hu mevi, that the Kohen Gadol has to bring the carbon power Yom Kippurim from his own funds. But just to continue, what was the Gemara Shaila? Because the Gemara said that we know, the Mishnah says, that all the Kohanim have a kapara with the carbon, with the power. So the question that the Gemara said was, how is that kapara affected? Is it affected because they're full-fledged partners in the carbon? And if they're full-fledged partners in the carbon, then it's a carbon seber, and they can't make a tamura. Or is a mikufya. They're really the kaparas for the Kohen Gadol. And they just come along. So says the Gemara, why don't we say, since the Torah says, Ashaloi, Amrachmana, Mishaloi hu mevi, that the Kohen Gadol has to use his own funds to buy the power. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Ashaloi, Mishaloi hu mevi, Veloi Mishal Tzibur. He has to use his own private funds, not the communal funds. Yochaloi Yavi Mishal Tzibur. I would think that his chaka shouldn't take money from the communal funds. Why? Shein tzibur miskapin bay. Because the tzibur is not affected a kapara with this carbon. So why should they pay and not have any kapara? Avil yovi mishal echav a kahanim. But the other kahanim, who do receive a kapara through this carbon. So yachav kahanim miskapin bay. That the other kahanim do have a kapara, should be able to contribute. Tamaloymer ashaloy. It has to be the Kohen Gadol's fund. Yochla Yavi, I would think that we should not use the Kohanim's money. However, Vimhevi, if the Kohanim did take and contribute, and the Kohen Gadol used their money, Kasher, it should be Kasher, Tamalai Mishuv, Ashaloi. The Torah says the word Ashaloi another time, Shina Kosov Lov La'akev. The Torah repeats the word Ashaloi, actually three times, but as far as the Kohanim are concerned, twice. And there's a halacha, another rule, in Kachim. Whenever the Torah says a din regarding Kachim, the same din twice, it's shina lav akosav lakav. The Torah repeats it to tell us it must be that way. It's essential. So the Gemara is saying, since we see that the Torah went out of its way to tell us that the Kohen Gadol has to use his own funds for the power, isn't that a clear indication that it's only his carbon? And since it's only his carbon, it's a carbon yachid. And since it's a carbon yachid, he should be able to make a tamura. Ask the Mashal, perhaps the reason the Torah repeats Ashaloi is once to teach us that he shouldn't take money from the other Kohanim, and wants to teach us that he shouldn't take money from his own family. Because as we learned, the way the kapara works is first it works ba'adu ba'ad beisoy, for him and his family, and then it works ba'adu ba'ad echav kahanim. So why am I saying that the pasuk is repeated? To teach us they shouldn't take money under any circumstances from other kahanim. Perhaps the reason the pasuk is repeated, to teach us don't take money from kahanim, and also don't take money from your own family. Says the Masha, money from his own family is his own money. So the pasuk wouldn't teach us don't take money from your family, because your family's money, your wife's money, is your money. So therefore, why is the Torah repeating it? To teach us that you shouldn't take money from the other Kohanim, which ostensibly proves that the Karban Par Yom Kippurim, that Karban Chatas, is a Karban Yochid, and therefore should affect the Temura. Ask the Gemara, Ultameich, if that line of reasoning is correct, Echav Kohanim, Ilav the Karban Begavei, if the other Kohanim don't have a shear in this Par, is the question, Hechem Chapaluhu, how does it work? And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question is that to have a carbon affect a kapara for somebody, the person has to have ownership in that carbon. If we're saying now that he doesn't have any ownership in this carbon, the other kahanim, it's a carbon yachid, so how are we saying that the Par Yom Kippurim is mechaper for those kahanim? Ella, how do we have to say that the Torah is working with a very interesting mechanism? Shani begazu da Aaron, even though it's the funds of Aaron, the afkere rechmona gab achav kahanim. The Torah says that even though only the kohen gadol should contribute, only his funds should be used, still it affects a kapara for everybody else. Hachi gab tamura nami. I say regarding the tamura, shani begazu da Aaron, that even though Aaron, the kohen gadol, has to pay for it, the afkere rechmona gab achav kahanim, it's still considered a carbon sefer. So actually the Gemara leaves itself very uncertain. Is it a carbon yachid because the kohen gadol had to pay for it by himself? Or is it a carbon sefer because although the other kahanim didn't physically contribute to it, but they still have a kapara from it and they still have ownership, because to have a kapara you have to have a stake in the carbon. There's a very interesting psak that's used based on this Gemara. When we left Masechet Shkolim, we quoted Rabbi Kivega. Vega said he doesn't know if women should daven musaf. Vega said shachris mincha ma'ariv are keneged Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So they're Jewish like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov were, so they daven those three tefillos. But musaf, we said, is keneged karban musaf. Where does the funds from the karban musaf come? The funds for the karban musaf come from the shkolim. Who contributes to the shkolim? Only men. So only people who contribute are parties to it, and therefore women who don't contribute to the Karban Musaf shouldn't have to daven Karban Musaf. That was a Rikki Vega. So Mefarshim say, perhaps based on that on this Gemara, it's not an issue. Because here we see that even if you didn't contribute, the Torah could affect the mechanism that your party, even if you didn't contribute, like the other Kahanim regarding the power. Similarly, we'll say that even though the women maybe don't contribute any funds towards the Karban Musaf, the Torah affects a mechanism where they are party to it, and therefore they could have a Musaf, which is the minig. So the Mishnah continues with the Seder Hayoin. Hay Mahalach Behechel, the Kohen Gadol walked in the Hechel with the shovel of coals in the right hand, with the ladle of Ketoros in the left hand, Achim Magia Leben Shtei HaProiches HaMavdiles Ben Kodesh Ben Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mishnah is saying that in the Bayis Sheni there were two curtains separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Kohen Gadol walked between those two curtains until he gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ubinayim, how much space was between these two curtains? An Amma. And in fact, the Yerushalmi says, we mentioned already a number of times that the avoid of the Torah was a difficult avoider. In this parak we learned it. Now the Yerushalmi adds another component to difficulty. We have an area which is only an amma wide, and actually it's even less than amma, because you have to deduct the area of the width of the curtains. And the Kohen Gadol, carrying these two ladles, has to walk in that narrow area to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is also difficult. Yaisi disagrees. There was only one proiches, Shenemar, There's only one proiches separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. Ask the Gemara, Shapa Kamala Rabbi Yosef Rabbanon. Rabbi Yosef is making a very good point. Look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vivdila proiches lechem, one proiches. So where did Rabbanon get two? Shapa Kamala Rabbi Yosef Rabbanon. Rabbanon Amrilach. Rabbanon answer, Hani Mili B'Mishkan. In the Mishkan, there was only one proiches. Abba B'Migdash Sheni. But in the Migdash Sheni, Kivin Delo Hava Amatraxin, there was no Amatraxin. Or B'Migdash Rishon Hu Davoy, only in the Migdash Rishon, and I'll explain this better in a half a moment, B'Stapkele Rabbanon B'Kedushasei, so Rabbanon didn't know how to build this, Iklefnim Iklechutz, V'Avetshtei Proiches. So the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara is as follows. I said a mouthful. The way the Rishonim explain this Gemara is as follows. In the Mishkan, there's no disagreement, there was a curtain, a proiches, one proiches. In the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, there was a wall. There was a wall. The wall was an amethik. In the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was 10 amas taller than the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. Beis HaMikdash Rishon was 30 amas tall, the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was 40 amas tall. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Godul Yiyag covered by Zazer. The second Beis HaMikdash will be bigger than the first Beis HaMikdash. So now, if we, the taller the wall, the thicker the wall has to be, the taller the edifice, the thicker the wall has to be that should be able to stand. And a wall that's only an Amma thick will not be sturdy in that height. So they couldn't, so now you'll ask the obvious question. So make a wall, but make it thicker. So the Pasuk says, Hakol Miyad Hashem Alai Heskel. All the mentions of Beis HaMikdash are very exact. Every inch is very, very specified. So I can't make a wall thicker in the Beis HaMikdash because I'll be detracting from either the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kedoshim.
But you said
the
Beis HaMikdash was taller.
And taller you're allowed to, but not in, you can make it taller, but they weren't allowed to make it wider or longer. So therefore, they were limited. So they can't make a wall, and they can't make, so they had to make curtains. Now, the Gemara Masechet Baba Basra asks, why don't we do a simple thing? Why don't we make a wall up to 30 feet? Because up to 30 amas, we know the wall could be sturdy. And then the top 10 amas, put up a curtain. So the Gemara says, you can't have it half and half. Either it's completely wall, or it's completely curtain. And since it couldn't be completely wall, because of the structural issues, they had to make curtains. So the area that's between these two places is called the Amatraxin. Why is it called Amatraxin? The Rishonim say two reasons. Either it's because Traxin, the word track is inside. The word Satan means outside. We don't know, as we're going to explain in a moment, where to attribute this Amat to. Should we attribute it to the inside? Or should we to the Kaidah? Should we attribute it to the outside? Another reason is because Traxin, it closes something which is closed up. Sin, which is, sin means hidden. Because what was in the Kodesh Kedoshim? The Aron. Nobody was ever allowed to see that Aron. The Kohen Gadol once a year in Yom Kippur. So that's why track sin. It closes an area which is concealed. So now, in the Beis HaMikdash, so now we have an issue that we have an area of an Amma. And we don't know where to build, where to make the curtain. So there's a Machloikas Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. The Ritva, the Taisus HaRosh, learn the Gemara, that if we're going to make a curtain, and we're going to make a curtain, and we have an Amma, an Amma is a decent amount of area, it's almost 2 feet. If we're going to make it too far in to the Beis HaMikdash, then we're going to be expanding the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we may not have the right to expand the area of the Kodesh Kedoshim. Not only do we have a right to expand the area of the Kodesh Kedoshim, we can lead to a problem. Because as we're learning, the Kohen Gadol has to do Avodah in the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur. He'll enter that extra area, which he'll think is Kodesh Kedoshim area, but it's actually not. And he'll end up doing Avodah that's supposed to be done in Kodesh Kedoshim in a non-Kodesh Kedoshim area. And the Gevurah Sari asks in that pshat, because the Gevurah Sari says that the halacha is that, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, that it wasn't done just at the beginning of Kodesh Kedoshim, it was done by the Aron. So he answers, from here we see that the Aron is only l'chatchila. but you could do it anywhere in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he may do it in an area which he thinks is Kodesh Kedoshim is actually not. On the other hand, if it's supposed to be in the Kodesh, and he thinks, if it's supposed to be, if that area is really Kodesh Kedoshim area, but he thinks it's Kodesh, so he's going to be going to an area he's not allowed to go, because we know, as we just said a moment ago, you're not supposed to walk into the Kodesh Kedoshim only with permission. So that's why we made these two curtains to stay safe. That's the Tosfos of Rosh and Ritva's approach to the Gemara. Tosfos has an entirely different approach. Tosfos' approach is that the halach is that the curtain has to be at the exact point of demarcation. But I don't know where it is. Is it at the beginning, at the end of the Kodesh, or at the beginning of Kodesh Kedoshim? So because I don't know, I make these two curtains. So what's Pshat Rabbi Yossi? That he says that you only have to make one curtain. So there's a number of ways of explaining Rabbi Yossi. One way of explaining Rabbi Yossi, the easiest way of explaining Rabbi Yossi, is Rabbi Yossi knows for sure where it's supposed to be. And since he knows where it's supposed to be, that's where he makes it. Another way of explaining Rabbi Yossi, is that Rabbi Yossi holds that we can make one curtain that is thick amma, we'll make a very thick curtain, and it'll solve all our problems. Because Rabbi Yossi holds that the curtain doesn't have to be at the exact point of demarcation. As long as the curtain is in that area, it's adequate. And this is really a much more lumdish shaila. Let me explain. Because the shaila is, what is the point of the curtain? If the point of the curtain is to serve as a point of demarcation, so I have to know where it's supposed to be. And therefore I may have to have two curtains. But could be the point of the curtain is just lahavdil, to separate. And therefore, as long as I have a curtain, even if it's not at the exact point of demarcation, it doesn't make a difference. And that perhaps could be the machlokes of Yossi Rabbanan. We Rabbanan hold that it has to be an exact point of demarcation, and since I don't know, I have to make two, one at the beginning of the Kodesh, one at the end of the Kodesh, one at the beginning of the Kodesh, and the empty area that's the Sophic leaf. And Rabbi Yossi holds, as long as I have a separator, the fact that it's not exactly in the right spot is irrelevant. What about in the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, they obviously, with everybody agrees, the Pasuk says they only had one curtain. They only needed one curtain because they obviously then did know where it's supposed to be, what the exact line of demarcation was. So everybody agrees that one curtain is adequate. Before we go further into Gemara, there's an interesting Shaila lahaloch lemaisa based on this Gemara. We explained that the Beis HaMikdash dimensions were exact. Every inch was accounted for. There's a Shaila in the Shul Ha'as HaTshuvas Beis Shloima. The Shul Ha'as HaTshuvas the Rechaim have the same Shaila. There was a shul that they wanted to build a balcony. The shul didn't have enough room, so they wanted to make the Ezra's, originally they had the Ezra's, the men in the front, the women in the back, but the shul, the population grew, so they wanted to build a gallery, a balcony for the women. But they needed to, if they're going to put in a balcony, they're going to have beams on which the balcony should rest. But those beams will take away shul area. Were they allowed to do it or not? Says the Devar Chaim, the Shas Shus by Shlomo says the exact same thing. We're saying now that why in the Beis HaMikdash could we not build a wall? We said we couldn't build a wall thicker. Because there's a pasuk, Hakol b'ksav Eli miyad Hashem hesko, that every inch was accounted for from Hashem. Says the Devar Chaim, in the Beis HaMikdash there's such a pasuk. If there's an issue that you're not allowed to take away an area that had Kedusha and not make it unusable, what do I need a special pasuk for? I should say, you know why I can't make a thicker wall? I'm taking away usable area. Must be, he says, that usable area is not a factor. The only factor is that pasuk, which is only relevant by the Beis HaMikdash, nowhere else. Other Rishonim, other places can disagree. They say that by the Beis HaMikdash, there wasn't a concern of unusability because the first Beis HaMikdash became Chorev. It got destroyed, so anyway lost its Kedusha. But in a shul that didn't get destroyed, never lost its Kedusha, making a usable area unusable may be a factor. So as far as we said, let's go back into the Gemara, review it quickly. Shabbat Kamala Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi is saying good to Rabbanon that the Pasuk seems to indicate that only one Proichus is adequate. Rabbanan, Amilachan, Rabbanan respond, Hani Mili b'Mishkan. In the Mishkan, where they knew exactly the line of demarcation, one proichus is enough. Aval b'Migdashani. In the Migdashani, even though I have Amitraxon, they couldn't build this wall that was an Amit thick, because it wasn't sturdy enough. Or b'Migdash Rishon who'd avoid. Only in the base of Migdash Rishon they were able to build this wall. V'stakapol Rabbanan b'Kedushosei. And now the Rabbanan don't know how to deal with this Amit area. Is it considered Kodesh? Is it considered Kodesh Kedoshim? Ikel Afnim, is it considered Kodesh Kedoshim? Ikel Chutz, is it considered Kodesh? That's why if Ovid Shtei Proichas, they made two Proichas. Tan Rabbanan. Says the Gemara Braisa. Now the question goes back to the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol is walking. He's carrying in the right hand the coals. He's carrying in the left hand the Ketores. Now what is the route the Kohen Gadol takes as he enters the base of Mikdash to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Braisa says, the way it was built was you had the Mizbeach in the center. You had, that means the entrance, let's get our bearings. The entrance to the Beis Hamikdash was on the east side. On the in the center of the Kodesh was the Mizbeach HaPnimi. On the right side, which is north, there was the Shulchan. On the left side, which is south, they had the Menorah. So Rav Yehuda says, Ben HaMizbeach LeMenorah HaYimahalach. In that space between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, that's where the Kohen Gadol walked till entering the Kodesh Kedoshim. They were Rabbi Yehuda. Remei Omer, ben Shulchan Mizbeach. He walked Rabbi Yehuda says he walked between the Mizbeach and Menorah. Remei says he walked between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. But Yesh Omer ben Shulchan LeKaisel, and the Yesh Omer says they walked between the Shulchan and the Kaisel. Says the Gemara, first question. Man Yesh Omer. Who is the Yesh Omer? Omer of Chizda, Rabbi Yossi. It's going according to Rabbi Yossi. He says that the door was on the north side. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yossi says we just finished learning there was only one curtain. So there was only one entrance. Where is that entrance? On the north side. Since it's on the north side, you want the Kohen Gadol walking in the north side. Why should he walk on the south side and then have to walk all the way to the north? Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand, who says that he walked near the Menorah, says, Pischa Bedarim. There were two doors, because Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold like the Rabbanan, and he's going to hold there were two curtains, and therefore two entrances, and the way, and we'll explain this more in the Mishnah, Afnun Beis on the Beis, there was a double entrance, because it was a double curtain. So the first entrance was on the south side. The Kohen Gadol therefore walked on the south side, which is where the Menorah was, then entered into that space between the two curtains, walked along that corridor, so to speak, and then came to the other entrance into the Kodesh Kedoshim, which was on the north side. Now, ask the Gemara, but we need to understand Rameya. Who does Rameya hold like, ask the Gemara? Rameya commands Sfirle, like whom does he hold? Ik Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that obviously there was a double door, so now Rabbi Yehuda, why doesn't he say it goes on that side? And Ik Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle, and if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, nail Rabbi Yossi. So why doesn't he go like Rabbi Yossi say, directly between the Shulchan and the wall, why does he walk between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach? Says the Gemara. Two answers. First answer is, L'olam Rabbi Yehuda Sfirlei. He actually holds like Rabbi Yossi, L'olam Rabbi Yossi Sfirlei. He holds like Rabbi Yossi that there was only one curtain, and that one curtain was on the Tzofen side. Which entering the Beis Hamikdash would be on our right. But he also holds, V'amalach, Shulchanos, Tzofen V'dar Menachem. We know that there was the Shulchan that Moshe Rabbeinu built, and then Shlomo Melech added 10 Shulchanos. Those two the Shulchanos always have to be on the north side. So they took up the whole area. They stood from wall to the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, they took up the whole 10 Amos, which is half the width of the Beis HaMikdash, so he couldn't walk there because the Shulchanos blocked him. That's what he says. However, Amalach, he's going to tell you that the extra 10 Shulchanos that Shlomo Melech built stood Tzofen V'dor Menachem. Therefore, Umafsik Le Shulchan, So therefore the shulchan blocked them, those extra shulchanos blocked them from being able to enter on the north side, because the shulchan always has to be on the north side. So he can't enter that way. So how does he have to enter? He has to enter towards the south, even though he agrees that he should have entered direct. The shulchanim was standing from front to back. If they were standing from front to back, so now the question is, why didn't the Kohen Gadol enter directly? If he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that there was only one entrance on the Tzofen side. Says the Gemara, Mishum Shechina Lav Oirich Ara, L'meil Lehedja. It's not proper respect that if the person is walking, as Rabbi Yossi says, between the Shulchan and the wall, so, and there's only one opening to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so there's two ways of learning this. That means as he's walking towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he can actually see the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because it's open. And it's not proper that somebody should have that kind of a view for such an extended period of time as he's walking from the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, viewing it. Another pshat, which is very similar, the other Rishonim explain, is that before you enter a place of like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're supposed to, so to speak, knock. You're supposed to notify you're coming. But if you're coming straight in, it's not proper Derech Eretz. Rabbi Yossi Amalach, Rabbi Yossi says, according to Rabbi Yossi, that he did walk directly between the Shulchan and the wall, so that means he had a straight view of the Kodesh HaKadoshim all along. How is that acceptable? We just said it's a lack of Derech Eretz. Amalach, Chavivin Yisrael, Shalai Tzrich Nakosav L'Shliach. Klai Yisrael has a special relationship with God, just like when you come into your own home. You don't have to make a big announcement that you're coming, because it's your home. So there's two ways of explaining the Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that Klal Yisrael have such a special relationship with Hashem that they don't have to be worried that it's unbecoming, that they're seeing or walking right in. Another way of explaining is like this. Beautiful pshat. We know that all year round, the Kohen Gadol wore the me'il when he entered the Beis HaMikdash. And on the bottom of the mill, there were bells. What were the point of the bells? So to speak, to announce that he was entering. To announce makes a twinkle, a sound with the bell. Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol only wore the Big Day Lovin. There were no bells on the Big Day Lovin. The bells were made out of gold. Why doesn't he need to make that announcement, Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is such a special day that represents the special relationship that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's close children. That's how we're supposed to look at a Yom Kippur. So therefore, yes, he goes right in. Yes, he sees the Kodesh Kedoshim. He's representing Klal Yisrael, who are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special children on Yom Kippur. So the Siach Yitzchak says, so we have here a very fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that even on Yom Kippur, somebody could walk right in. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not proper. What is the machlokes based on? Rabbi Yossi says, it's more important on Yom Kippur to show the chavivus of Klal Yisrael, the great love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's more important to show the respect we owe to God. So that's why he says don't walk straight in, because that doesn't show the proper respect to God. Rabbi Yossi agrees, maybe it's a lack of respect. But what is the price? To show the chavivus of Yisrael. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, how do we explain Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda learned that, Rabbi Yehuda learned that he walked on the other side. He walked between the Shulchan, he walked between the Menorah and the Mizbeach. Why? Because as we explained, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like the Rabbanan, that there was a double door, so he walked, and the first entrance was on the south side, so we stick to the south side, and then after entering the south side, he walks through the corridor, and then he walks through the next entrance from the next curtain, which was on the north side. But when Rabbi Yehuda told us that he walks on the south side, what did he say he walked on the south side? He walked between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. Ask the Gemara, why does he walk between the Mizbeach and the Menorah? Why does he walk between the Mizbeach and the wall? And here we can't say, says the Siach Yitzchak, that we're worried that he's going to see what's doing in the Kodesh Kedoshim. There's another curtain blocking him. So why does he walk in the center? Why doesn't he walk along the wall? Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Nail Ben Menorah L'Kaisel. Why is he walking between the Menorah and the Mizbeach? Answers the Gemara, Mashkere Mani. So there are two ways of explaining it. The way most Rishonim explain it is that the wall, given that it was so close to the Menorah, it was only 2.5 amos away from the Menorah, and the Menorah made the wall dirty. So if he's going to be walking right along the wall, he's wearing his white begadim, he's going to get them dirty, rubbing against the wall. Others say, which is fairly similar, he's going to be walking close to the Menorah. The Menorah is lit, and the fire will make his clothing dirty. Ask the Shomer Tzion about Halacha, what are we saying? That the wall is dirty. Why is the wall dirty? Because it's so close to the Menorah. So why don't they clean the wall? That's the Beis Hamikdash. So he says that the Gemara says that Shvachul B'nai Aaron, one of the things that we could praise B'nai Aaron with is that they used to walk at Akuvaseim B'dam. They used to walk up to their ankles or knees in blood to show the Chavivus that they have to mitzvah, the love they have to mitzvah. Says the Shomer Tzion B'Halacha, they dafka didn't clean the walls. Why did the walls get dirty from? They got dirty from the Menorah, which represents the special Torah Ar, the special relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu through Liman HaTorah. We don't want to clean that. We want to highlight that. And where do we find? And the Chasam Sofer says we find the same concept LaHaloch LaMaisa. He says when somebody looks for an esrog before Pesach, before Sukkot, he makes sure that the esrog is clean. There should be no spots. But many times the esrog after use, first day yontif, second day yontif, especially if they have a lot of moisture in them, get dirty. So somebody asked the Chasam Sofer, should he switch esrogim? The esrog is not a clean esrog anymore. We have to have a clean esrog. So he says, dafka don't clean the esrog. What did the esrog get dirty from? It got dirty because he used it for a mitzvah. It's beautiful when something gets dirty from a mitzvah. It's beautiful when the walls of the Beis HaMikdash are black from the Menorah. Use dafka that esrog. Don't change.